Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is in prison. He is in prison because he was bold enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as he went around the Roman Empire. He was bold to preach that there is only one way to heaven, that there is only one sacrifice that appeases God for our failures, our sins, that it was not Zeus, it was not Hermes, it was not Artemis, it was not any of those other gods, but only in Jesus Christ are we saved. Only by the message that Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification are we made right with God. And he preached that wherever he went. And now he is in chains because of it. And in chains, do you think that that stops him? No, the whole Imperial Guard knows about Jesus Christ. And beyond that, those who are in Philippi, who are in Macedonia, who are near Thessalonica and other places in that area, they have been emboldened by that same witness. Not that they sought to go to jail. It is not what they wanted. But they were not afraid of what man could do to them. They feared God more than man. And they loved God more than they loved their status before their fellow man. And that is what drove them to do what they did. And so Paul, writing from prison, sends letters all over the place, thanking and praising those people for their gifts, for their love of him, as well as their love and of the Lord, of their joy that they have in the gospel, of the community that they have one with another in the gospel, their fellowship, the Greek word being koinonia, their togetherness, their unity. He thanks and praises them for all of these things. And it is my prayer, he says, that this your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with discernment, so that you may know what is true and you may discern between that which is true and false. Because as you know, our enemy, the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, he is the most crafty of all of God's creatures. He is a liar, our Lord says, and the father of lies. He's tricksy. And so he prays that our love for God would be translated into knowledge and discernment. And thus that love would be superabundant, so that we might approve of what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for that day when our Lord would return Elsewhere, St. Paul puts it this way, that we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by a philosophy, by this or that that comes our way, but that we would be steadfast. Steadfast, not in terms of immovable, never moving. Steadfast in terms of a ship that keeps its course towards the direction and ultimately its final destination. That we would not be steered this way or that way, that we would not be blown off course. And when such a leader as St. Paul, or any leader for that matter, has been preaching with boldness, and you find out now he's in prison, well, that could be just the thing to turn us off course. Because surely there were also rumors and innuendo going around that Paul deserved it. If he just would have been a little more nice, maybe if he were a bit more winsome, maybe he wouldn't have been in the position that he's in. And on top of that, there are those who are preaching the gospel who are envious of Paul. That is, they want to be like him, but not for the right reasons. They want to imitate him, but that's because they want glory. Not the glory that comes from God when he says on the last day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But rather, the glory that comes from man, that strokes at our pride and makes us feel good. There are all kinds of examples of this. Either the good kind, like Paul, who goes forth and preaches in boldness and suffers because of it. Men now and in our past and in long past who have preached boldly and suffered the consequences. And then those who take the opportunity to try to steal their thunder and to try to get glory from themselves. But Paul's goal here is not to say, don't listen to them, because they're actually still preaching the gospel. They're not preaching false doctrine, and if they were, he would say, don't listen to them. He says, I don't care. The gospel's still being preached. The message is still going out. And God's word does not return void. And since it does not return void, people are going to be saved. And so he counts this not as loss. This has happened to him in order to advance the gospel, in order that the gospel would move forward. And since it moves forward, he has every reason to rejoice. And that is a theme that we are going to hear throughout the book of Philippians. Rejoicing, and it will always be coupled with suffering. rejoicing in suffering. Now, we don't typically put those two words together. And it's probably a good time for us to begin doing it. To begin to see what we already know, but that we do not yet fully believe. That is to say, we know what the Bible says about it, but we don't trust that God is actually going to do what he says. What God promises to us about suffering is that it will make us stronger in faith and reliance upon him. And that it will give us a frame, a mind and a body and a soul that can stand up to receive the eternal weight of glory that shall be given to us on the last day. You can almost hear the smile in Paul's discussion of this. That what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, and therefore I rejoice. He's not complaining. He's thanking God, even in the midst of difficulty, that he's going to do what God has promised to do through difficulty. And our chief example of this is not St. Paul. Our chief example of this is what St. Paul is going to point out to us in chapter 2. Our chief example is Jesus Christ. That through his suffering and through his death came not just his resurrection and glory, but it poured out for all those in the world. And we are called to follow him. And just as surely as Jesus is raised from the dead and ascended to the right hand, glorified by God the Father, so too, all those who cling to the crucified and risen Jesus Christ will receive the same reward. Strengthening of their faith through difficulty in this life, and the glory, the eternal weight of glory in the life to come. May it be that we, perhaps not immediately with the smirk, but over time as we practice, be able to say with St. Paul that this has happened to me, that what has happened to me has really happened to serve to advance the gospel. And in that I rejoice, because Christ is proclaimed. In the name of Jesus. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.